Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for this Easter morning comes from our gospel reading with a special emphasis on verse 9, which states, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." You may be seated. Dear saints in Christ, how wonderful is it that after 40 days, our mouths that were quiet for self-reflection can now boldly proclaim, "He is risen."
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The hymns from the organ that were dark and somber are now today bright and joyful. The altar that was draped with black pyramids is now white and beautiful. Most importantly, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who 3 days ago hung bloody and dead on a cross, has risen in triumph over sin, death, and the devil. It is a wonderful day indeed. In the midst of our celebration this morning here at church, and our Easter dinners to come later this afternoon in our homes, I wouldn't be surprised if you stopped for a moment to think to yourself, "Wow! How incredible is this? My Savior lives. He did this for me." But why? How does his resurrection influence my eternal salvation? The other holidays are easy to figure out. You have Christmas. This is where Jesus, the Son of God, comes down from heaven and takes on our flesh and blood. Then there's Good Friday. That one's pretty easy to figure out as well. Here, that little baby that we celebrated at Christmas is grown up and is ultimately nailed to a cross and dies. Here, he suffered and died for me and my sins. When he cries out, "It is finished," at that very moment, Jesus crushes the head of Satan. Sin, death no longer have dominion over me. So if everything is finished on Good Friday, why is Jesus' resurrection necessary? Looking at our gospel text for today, we aren't the only ones asking this question. On the very first Easter morning, 3 days after Jesus was crucified, there's mass chaos. Mary Magdalene, the first who to discover the tomb is empty, runs to tell Peter and John that they have taken Jesus out of the tomb. She doesn't know where they've laid him. Peter and John run to the tomb where they too see it empty. Verse 8 explains that John saw the tomb empty and believed. However, in verse 9, it says, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." Now, a better translation of this verse would be, "They did not yet know the scripture that it was necessary for him to rise from the dead." The disciples, the ones who had been taught by Jesus, who had seen his miracles, who even heard him talk about his coming resurrection, didn't understand why his resurrection was necessary. So the question, why was it necessary that Jesus rise from the dead, is, in fact, a good one. In order to answer this, let's look at our text a little further. It is only 3 days prior to Jesus' death that his body was removed from the cross. There is no question that he is dead. Multiple verses throughout John's gospel in chapter 19 support this. None better than verses 38 through 41. Here, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for permission to bury Jesus' body in a new tomb outside of Jerusalem, to which Pilate says yes. Nicodemus, a Pharisee and follower of Jesus, comes along with Joseph and brings with him 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes. 75 pounds. That's a lot. Why would you need 75 pounds of spices? Well, have you ever come across a dead deer in a ditch? They smell pretty bad, don't they? Well, Joseph and Nicodemus were going to use these spices to mask the smell of Jesus' dead body, which would quickly decay. Moving ahead to Sunday morning, that thought of Jesus rising still hasn't crossed the minds of Jesus' followers. That morning, Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb to make final preparation on Jesus' body. And to her surprise, the stone is rolled away and the body is missing. Do you know what comes to her mind first? Not that Jesus is risen, but somebody has stolen the body. After Mary tells the disciples this, they didn't respond with, Mary, calm down. He is risen. He's not dead. The body isn't stolen. No, they didn't believe that Jesus was risen either. Ultimately, what these verses tell us is that Mary Magdalene and the disciples know that bodies don't rise from the dead. The only legitimate option for them is that someone stole the body. Even after Mary talks to the angels and Jesus himself, she still can't be convinced otherwise. Are we any different, though, from Mary or the disciples? If I were to ask you, do people normally rise from the dead? I would expect every single one of you to say, no, it just doesn't happen. It defies all human reason to believe that a person is able to come back to life after it is quite apparent that they have died. A prime example of this is right across the street, where our family and friends are buried. As much as you would long for them to come back to life and to see them once again, it isn't possible. Not in this lifetime. Ultimately, death is the result of original sin. In Genesis chapter 2, we see that God gives Adam and Eve everything they would ever need for life. God's one command is that they not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For if they do, they shall surely die. Unfortunately, Satan tricks them, and they eat of it. As God promised, they shall surely die. Thanks to Adam and Eve, everyone in the world, including you, has inherited this sin. It flows through your veins. Paul explains in Romans chapter 7 that your entire nature is utterly corrupted by it. Let's say, for instance, you were able to live what would be considered a good life and never break a single one of God's commandments, which, by the way, is impossible. You still can't overcome original sin. You're held captive to it. No matter what you do or how hard you try, you cannot escape it. And every day you see the results of sin. You grow old, weak, you become tired and sick. Eventually, sin will gain the victory, and every single one of us will eventually die. Ultimately, we cannot defeat death. However, thanks be to God that he has given us an answer for death. That day in the garden, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, God made another declaration, this time to Satan. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The offspring of the woman, that one that would crush the head of death, is made manifest in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Looking back at our gospel text, Mary Magdalene didn't realize that she is right in the middle of this prophecy being fulfilled. She had walked with Jesus countless of times before his death. The necessary difference now is that Jesus was with her after his resurrection. He stands triumphantly before her, having defeated death. Though, still weeping, Mary doesn't recognize him. Thinking that he is the gardener, she states, Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. It was only when Mary hears Jesus calling her by name does she finally recognize him. Her eyes have been opened by her risen Savior. Just as God's prophecy had been fulfilled in Mary Magdalene's day, this same prophecy is being fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross for you, you who were once a slave to death, have been set free by the blood of Christ. His death defeated death. Your old sinful flesh was crucified with him so that you may gain eternal life. Through Adam came death, but through Christ comes life. However, just as it was necessary for Christ to be crucified, it is necessary for him to rise. For if Christ hasn't risen, your faith is in vain, and you are still held captive to death. Then those family and friends across the street who have fallen asleep in Christ will have perished. It is necessary that in order for Christ to fully defeat death, that he must die and also come back to life. However, there is no need to fear. Your faith is not in vain, for Christ isn't dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That same Christ who was crucified on the cross stands before you, triumphantly conquered death. Death has no power over him, for he is the resurrection and the life. That same resurrection and life that Christ obtains, he now gives to you. Because he has risen, you too will rise. Because he lives, you too will live. You no longer have to fear death, for it has been defeated for you through Christ. Your eternal salvation is certain, because he sits at the right hand of God for all eternity, because he has risen. Because he has risen, his Father is now your Father. His God is now your God. The enmity that was put between God and man at the fall has been reconciled. Ultimately, Christ's resurrection was necessary because through it, you too will rise. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 states, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." What does first fruits mean? Now, I know many of you are gardeners. Don't some of your fruits ripen before others? What do you do with them? Do you just leave them to hang there and maybe fall down and be eaten by bugs? No. You go ahead and pick them. Ultimately, what Paul is doing here is comparing the first fruits to Christ's resurrection. Christ is the first person to rise from the dead. Our family and friends, including those across the street who have died in Christ, will follow in his resurrection, just as you will. How comforting is this to know that while you still will grow old, weak, and will eventually die, you have been given the promise that death has been defeated. You will join with all those who have died before you. And on that last day, when Christ comes again in glory, we will be united with all our brothers and sisters to live in glory for all eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ultimately, his birth, death, and resurrection are all bound together and are in fact all necessary. For that baby that came into the flesh, it was necessary so that he may eventually die on the cross. His death is necessary so that he may rise from the dead. His resurrection on Easter is necessary so that you too may rise from the dead. And until that time comes, when we are called home, we can declare with confidence that he is risen. He is risen indeed. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.